Well, less than 3 weeks to the election. So much being talked about, so many words, so many promises being made. In the end, we have to decide, what can we believe? What do we know about the people making these promises? Who can we trust? Well, we'll leave the election there, but we'll go on thinking about that connection between what we know and what we can trust. Psalm 23, David begins, "The Lord is my shepherd." Just five words, and he sets out his stall. The Lord is my shepherd. When the word shepherd is used like this in the Old Testament, it always refers to the kingly role, the role of the king to be a shepherd, to look after people, to take responsibility for them. This is King David saying these words. He knows what these words mean. King David, who began as a shepherd. David knows all about what it is to be a shepherd and to be shepherded. And he says, "The Lord is my shepherd." Almighty God is his shepherd, not the shepherd. A personal relationship with Almighty God. It's a bold statement. And in much the same way that Jesus says to us at the beginning of the Lord's Prayer, he teaches us to pray, "Our Father in heaven." That personal, intimate relationship with Almighty God. And because of what he can say about the present, "The Lord is my shepherd," he can look forward and say, "I shall not be in want. I won't be in the future in want." And the rest of this psalm goes on to say all the things that he won't be in want of. "He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul." Now, as if talking about the election wasn't bad enough, I'm now going to show you my holiday photos. But just two, I promise. And you'll have to forgive me because they were taken on my phone, so they're long and thin. But the first one, sheep in green pastures, with all that abundant nutrition, the peace, the tranquility, the food, the provision, it's all there. Next photo, please, Kathy. This time, beside quiet waters. Sheep can't drink from fast-flowing water. It's not safe for them to get near. So they need quiet waters. This river, it's beside a river, and the river makes little pools off at the side, so it provides that safe drinking place. Sheep in green pastures beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. It's easy to think of those words as something just sort of mopping up the other things, rounding them off nicely, a lovely comforting feel. But that's to miss their grit. Where these words are used elsewhere in the Old Testament, they've got more meaning in them. Makes me wise, pulls me back when I'm straying, keeps body and soul together, literally keeps me alive. All of that in restores my soul. The whole business of shepherding, what it means to me. Alan and I were out walking in the lakes, little track, field of sheep beside us, and a sheep with its head through the fence. There's always one, isn't there? It's greener on the other side. But as we got near, we saw he wasn't feeding, he was trapped. He'd got his head through, Swaledale sheep with one curly, sawn off, well, jagged horn, and there was no way he was going to get back through this hole. So he's doing this on the wire. So between us, eventually, we managed to get his head out of the fence. But it was what happened next. He ran across the field. He was just so full of himself, so delighted to be free, feeling so much better, and chuntering away as he went. And we decided that he was saying, "Thanks, chaps." But I think he was probably saying, "Don't give up the day job." But restores my soul. Once he'd been made better, the whole of him felt better. And there's kind of that meaning here. He guides me on paths of righteousness. Literally, he keeps me on the right path. If you're walking the fells, the right path is very important. Metaphorically, the right path, how easy it is to wander off. But the Lord pulls us back if we'll let him. For his own name's sake. Alongside thinking about this and the reading I've been doing for that, I reread a contemporary secular book written by a shepherd on the unforgiving landscape of the northeastern fells in the Lake District, a present-day shepherd and what it means to be one. And he describes, as he was growing up, listening to his father and his grandfather dilling into him the importance of the family name and upholding that family name in a tight-knit community where your relationships, your business dealings depend on the integrity of a family and a farm over generations, maintaining that integrity of that name. Secular book with a very biblical understanding. That is how God feels about his name. It's a point of honour to live up to his name. Faithful one. We can depend on him. David knows it's a point of honour for God. That means that he can trust him. Well, up until this point, David has been describing his Lord and Shepherd in the context of green and pleasant settings. But now the scene changes. Kathy, could we have my picture back again? Beside still waters. The picture, the scene changes, and so does David's approach. He no longer describes his shepherd, he speaks to him. This photograph is taken next to the River Swale. That's the river that you can see in the background. The River Swale can rise 3 metres, just over 9 feet, in 20 minutes. In 20 minutes, that valley can look totally different and all that that implies. We were shocked at the devastation of the floods that we saw when we were there. The floods that happened in July, we were there in October. But how quickly the scene can change. How quickly the scene in our own lives can change. How quickly we can find ourselves in a valley. David says, "You are with me as I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." The valley literally of deepest darkness. You are with me. It's because he knows God's presence. He knows he can trust him, even in the darkest valley. The shadow is deep because it's close, the closer we are to the thing that's causing that shadow. But Jesus is closer still. He is with David. He is with us in the darkest valley. And that enables David to say, "I will fear no evil," because of what he knows he can trust. The worst shadow of all is fear. The Bible repeatedly teaches us, do not fear. Fear robs us of the present as well as the future. Because David knows of God's presence, his closeness with his intimate relationship, he can say, "I will fear no evil. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." The rod, the stick to ward off the predator. The staff, the crook, to get hold of the sheep and pull him in close. And then the scene changes again. The shepherd and the sheep give way to the host and the honoured guest. The scene changes, but not the thread of thought. In the culture of David's time, the host had absolute responsibility for the safety of his guest. It was a point of honour, another point of honour. It can be relied upon. So whilst there might be talk of enemies, whilst troubles are not going to disappear, that is not the focus. This is a place of safety. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Not you rustle up a quick meal. You prepare a table before me in much the same way as this table has been prepared for when we come to share at the Lord's table. So there's something more here, something richer, something fuller, something victorious. You anoint my head with oil. Anointing, it's a sign of honour and a sign of welcome. My cup overflows. This is a feast. At this point, David stops speaking in the present tense, and it, because of what he knows, he can look to the future and to the long-term future. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. Goodness and love following us, it has been said that that's like the sheepdogs behind the shepherd. They're bringing up the rear guard. It's a lovely image, but actually they lose some of that meaning because it's will follow me, and that follow is pursue. Goodness and love will pursue me all the way through my life, right the way to the end, right the way till taking me home. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That dwell is come back to, come home to, until I come home to the house of the Lord forever. David has spoken of what he knows, and because of that, it's what he can trust. He knows God, he knows that God knows him inside out. God knows each of us inside out. One of the other things that the contemporary shepherd, he quotes James Rebanks, he quotes his four-year-old daughter, who one day was sitting at the dinner table and eyeballs him over the table and says, "With you, Dad, it's all about the sheep." And that's what God is like, all about his flock. God's passionate about his flock. How passionate are we about him? This Sunday, as Nigel pointed out to us, it's Christ the King. It's the time when the church says, let's remember, he's our King. When we go into Advent, let's hold that because our King is coming back. We need to be ready for that. That's what Advent is all about. God's passionate about us. He knows us inside out. How passionate are we about him? How well do we know him? When we get to, when we've been Christians for a while, when we've been around the block a few times, it's easy to live on what we already know. But a relationship, a personal, intimate relationship, can't rest on that. It's got to be permanently listening and talking to. Are we listening to him? What are we doing to listening to him? What could we do as we go into Advent to listen to him better? Are we talking to him? Advent's always such a busy time. And I think I'm probably right in saying that this Advent, I'm probably going to be busier than I've ever been in Advent. I think a lot of us in the church will be. But that can't be a reason for not making this time a chance to know the King better. Bible Reading Fellowship went online yesterday, and I've ordered their book for Advent, The Image of the Invisible. It's one of the descriptions of Jesus in Colossians, The Image of the Invisible. And this book is a book of readings. It's few verses in a reading, then a reflection written by a poet, then a little question and a prayer. So I tried it out yesterday, because you can look inside the book when you look online. So I thought, right, how long is this going to take me in a day? It took me 5 minutes to read the reading, read the passage, and then do the prayer. I thought, right, great, I can go for that. And if I'm really stuck, I could do the reading and I could flip to the thought and the prayer at the end, but I'm gonna have this book. So I've ordered that, The Image of the Invisible. It's as I say, by Bible Reading Fellowship, our very own Richard Fisher, the CEO. What are you gonna do? Can I ask you that? Can I ask you to think hard? What are you going to do through Advent to get to know Christ the King better? What will it look like for you? I'd ask you, when you come up to take communion in a little while, lay that before God. Ask him to show you. Commit to him. Whatever he shows, yes, I'll do that. I'm going to get to know you better in Advent. May we make David's psalm our psalm. May we be as passionate as David was, and as passionate as the Lord is about getting to know us as we come to get to know him. May the next generation look to us and think, yes, with them, it's all about Jesus. When we come together at the table, may we put our trust in the one we know and in coming home to the house of the Lord forever. Amen.